Well, let's continue our conversation about Ebola now and turn to the worst hit region of the world, West Africa. The World Health Organization announced today that it botched attempts to stop the Ebola outbreak in West Africa, blaming factors including incompetent staff and a lack of information. In a document obtained by the Associated Press, the WHO says nearly everyone involved in the response failed to notice the potential for Ebola's explosive spread. But there's also some good news from the region today. While Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia are still struggling to contain Ebola, Nigeria and Senegal now have managed to rid the country of Ebola, according to officials. Ben Hemingway is coordinating the USAID Disaster Assistance Response Team. He's in Monrovia, Liberia. And Ben, how long do you expect it's going to take to control Ebola in the rest of West Africa?
That is the million-dollar question, and I'm not an epidemiologist, so I won't attempt to prognosticate on that. What I can tell you is every day we push forward, every day we put in place more access to care and get the word out that things are improving and that there will be an end to this outbreak.
What do you need right now that you don't have?
Clinical staffing, particularly higher-level clinical staff, from foreign medical teams or from international agencies, is certainly going to be a need that will be persistent for the foreseeable future. So the challenge in Liberia is access to all of the areas that are potentially affected. We're at the tail end of the rainy season right now, so conditions are improving, but some areas are very remote, and it's difficult to get there on a routine basis for follow-up care and also for safe burial teams. But every day it's improving, and every day we have more vehicles on the road and more mobilized staff and community members getting the word out and providing that treatment.
When you have to isolate a village or an area where there has been an infection, what do you do with the people who are there who are not infected?
We generally try not to get involved in the isolation of a village or a community. What we try to do is go into the community, do active case tracking, understand where the cases are, and perhaps what the challenges are to encouraging those people to seek care outside of their homes. We believe that getting people out of their homes, either into a community care center or an Ebola treatment unit, is the most viable way to break the chain of infection. What we do with the broader community is continue to work on social mobilization, education, and awareness of how you can actually protect yourself and the ways that you can actually get the virus from other people.
And is that working, or are people just getting more scared when you tell them what they need to do?
No, I think information is always empowering, and Ebola has been a specter for the entire world, but I think we're all coming to grips with the reality of the disease and how we can protect ourselves and the ways in which we put ourselves at risk of getting infected. So I think we have made incredible strides over the past 2 months in particular of getting the message out, letting people understand that Ebola is real, but you can protect yourself from it.
Now, USAID is also working in Sierra Leone and in Guinea, other countries with Ebola. What are the differences between what's going on in Liberia and what's happening in those other countries?
The U.S. government obviously is focusing on Liberia as the lead foreign government here, supporting the government of Liberia's efforts in Guinea. That's being led by the French government, and in Sierra Leone by the U.K. And in those two countries, certainly Guinea has had better luck thus far controlling the scale of the outbreak, and really we're trying to fill the gaps there and ensure that the outbreak doesn't reach a level that we're seeing in Liberia. In Sierra Leone, they're somewhere in between Guinea and Liberia as far as the outbreak. What we're doing there is working very closely with our British colleagues and with the government of Sierra Leone, helping them to put together a solid strategy for controlling the outbreak, and again, to fill any gaps with our colleague governments and international response agencies.
And we heard today that Senegal has been declared by the World Health Organization to be Ebola-free. We know in Nigeria, where there were 20 cases, 8 of them fatal, the country is also now considered Ebola-free. Do you have a sense of what they did right in those places to control this epidemic?
They received the outbreak a little bit later in the cycle, so they were able to target the center of the outbreak of each infectious node and contain it quickly. And we are all relieved and excited about Senegal being declared Ebola-free. And I can tell you we're all looking forward to the day where we can say the same for Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea.
Finally, let me ask you about the 550 U.S. military personnel and troops that are on the ground. Another 4,000 are on the way. Is it possible to keep them safe? And is there a plan for monitoring their health and treating them if they do contract Ebola?
Yes. We are very disciplined and very aware of the right ways to conduct our work and protect ourselves. I'd leave the actual details of how they do that to my Department of Defense colleagues, but I can tell you that it is the number one concern at all times, and it's front and center in all the decisions we make.
Ben, when you are in close contact, if you are, with people who have Ebola, do you wear the full hazmat suit, or how do you dress yourself?
Yes, any time where we believe we're in even a low risk environment, we make sure we have the adequate level of personal protective equipment. If we were to enter a hot zone, we would certainly wear the full complement of PPE, the same as doctors or nurses providing care inside of an ETU would wear.
And is a lot of where you are considered a hot zone, or is it building by building or neighborhood by neighborhood?
No, I think we've gotten to the point where the hot zones are pretty well known, and they're confined to either homes of a newly discovered case or in the actual treatment centers. Liberia is a thriving and vibrant country, and even though they are certainly challenged by this major outbreak, life goes on and people have a better understanding, again, of how to live their lives in a more safe manner.
Ben Hemingway, deputy leader of the USAID Disaster Assistance Response Team, joining us from Monrovia in Liberia. Ben, thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.